Good morning once again. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sam. I live in Cranbrook here, and I would like to talk to you briefly about what God told me to do. When Pastor Leonard told Pastor Grant, when he told me that, Sam, would you like to preach? I told him, no, I don't preach, because I told him three reasons why I don't want to preach. I told him, I'm not a pastor, so I don't preach. And I told him the second reason, I said, I don't like to face crowd. That I've never faced a big crowd before. And he said, no, it doesn't matter, you can do it, I know you can do it. I told him the third reason. I said, I have a thick accent. You know, I'm from Africa, I grew up in Africa before we moved to this beautiful country like 8 years ago. So he said, oh, you talk slowly. When you talk slowly, people will hear you. But he said something that I really admire. He said, not what you say. He said, what Holy Spirit will interpret to the people. So this morning, I pray Holy Spirit will interpret the right thing to you here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I say thank you once again. We thank you for what you have for us. We thank you what you want to speak to us this morning. We thank you for bringing your people here to be blessed. We thank you for the life you have given unto us that's very precious, that we cannot deny that. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for your presence here this morning. We pray you should take absolute control of everything we are going to discuss here today. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Yeah, I want to talk briefly about regular questions people ask us every day. You. People ask you, anywhere you go, they ask you, who are you? The same question I want to ask you today, who are you? If I ask you, who are you? A lot of people may tell you, my name is Frank. But if I ask you, who are you in your family, you may tell me your last name. I'm Sam Smith. Or whatever. People have been identified with many things. We have been identified with our family. If you travel out of Cranbrook, people identify you with Cranbrook. They ask you, where are you from? You say, I'm from Cranbrook, British Columbia. If you travel out of Canada, they may ask you, where are you from? I'm from Canada and the Canadian. Right? Those are the common things they ask us. They may ask you, who are you when it comes to like professional work? We are being identified with a lot of things. The job we do, where we are, our geographical location, what we do, everything, even our height, our race, we are being identified. And they say, oh, I'm Sam, you don't need to tell me that I'm brown, I'm black. So people know that. And if you want to describe, someone like, no, Sam, that is tall, right? People, you know, we are being identified with a lot of things. So that is what we want to discuss this morning. We call it self-identification. Even our God Almighty, God identified himself with a lot of things. He will tell you, I'm the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. I'm God of answered by fire, right? God himself identified himself with the Lord of things. Let me tell you, I'm the God that delivered your fire, your forefather from the land of Egypt. Those are the common things. So people have been identified with things. The same way we are identifying this present world, the same way we should be identified in spiritual world. We will talk more about present world and spiritual world in today's message. Jesus Christ asked his disciples the same question. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Our text today will be taken from the book of Matthew chapter 16 to 28. If you have your Bible, you can open it, or if you have your device, you can open it. I will read from here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. I call it self-identification. Self-identification means you. That's why I ask you, who are you? You are different. You are unique. Every human being. If you look at our population here, maybe like 100 or 150, nobody looks alike. You are different, right? If you look at Cranbrook, we have a population of about maybe over 20,000 people. Everybody is different. You look at Canada, we have a population of about maybe 38 million, something like that. Nobody looks alike. Let's go to the whole world. We have a population of about 8 billion people. Nobody looks alike. Even identical thoughts, there's something different in there. There's something different in there. If their DNA, their fingerprint, different. That means you are unique, you are different from any other person. And I want to discuss about that you, and you this morning. Jesus Christ was trying to identify himself, what people think about him in the Bible. Let's read from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. Let me start from verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Jesus Christ asked questions from his disciples. These are the disciples that he was with them every day. He asked them, what do people think about me? The same thing you, Christian, in your community, in your family, in your city, in the city of Cranbrook here, people look at you. People look at you. That you, there should be a difference in you. And Jesus wanted to know, and if you want to know, who are you? People around you, they know you more than what you think you know yourself. And in the same way, in the spiritual world, power of darkness, they know who are you. In anywhere you are being identified differently. Let's continue. Verse 14. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. You look at all the attributes of those people, the Elijah, the Jeremiah, the prophet. Jesus Christ had all those attributes. When Jesus Christ was going up, preaching the gospel, healing people, they watched him. They look at him. All those attributes, the disciples said, you are John the Baptist. We all know John the Baptist. He baptized Jesus Christ. He did a lot of things. He prophesied about, he's a pace setter for Jesus Christ. He prophesied for the coming of Jesus Christ. He said, someone is coming behind me that I'm not worthy to lose the sachet of his shoe. You know? He did a lot of things. And then let's look at the life of Elijah. Elijah actually means Jehovah is God. In Hebrew, we call it Elihu. Eli means God, Jehovah, Elihu. Indeed, we knew all what Elijah did. Some of us, the Bible scholars. Elijah did a lot of things, especially in Mount Carmel. Elijah destroyed 450 prophets. Elijah was the defender of God. Elijah did a lot of the chariot of fire took him to heaven. You don't mean that. People thought Jesus Christ was bad. His disciples, that they were sitting together, they were eating together, they did everything together. They thought Jesus Christ was that. They said, oh, they thought you are one of the prophets. Look at the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet that defended God. He preached the gospel throughout the whole Israel. The same thing, Jesus Christ did the same thing. The people that Jesus Christ was asking, who am I? Who do people think I am? Let's go to verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? He asked them, now you've told me everything what people think I am, but you that you eat with me every day, you dine with me every day, who do you think I am? The same thing we Christians, like what I said before, people look at us. When you identify yourself as a believer, people look at you more than what you think. In your family, if you tell them, I'm a member of Campbell Palace Church, they look at you in a way that is different from those who are not believers. And the same thing, where you work, in every day interaction we have, people look at you differently when you profess to be a Christian. If you tell them I'm a Christian, the way they look at you is different. So we need to be identified in a special way that is different from the way we think we are. We may do a lot of things, we don't care, we do things by ourselves, but people watch you, everything you do. That's you, people are looking at you differently. And we Christians, I tell people around me, we Christians, we are like a mirror, people watch us. Some people, the way you behave, your attitude, they involve the same thing. Especially our children, our family. The way you do, your children watch you. We all know that. The parents, everything you do, the way you talk, the way you react, people do that. So we are being identified with something. Like this morning we took Holy Communion. What's the purpose of Holy Communion? We are being identified with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do we need to do that? That's an identification. We are being attached to something. And that thing we are attached to determines the way we are being approved. Let's continue. Simon Peter. Everybody knows Simon Peter. Peter is one of the closest person to Jesus Christ, right? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of the Living God. Jesus Christ, now, if you look at it, it's not because of our time, before we talk about Christ, who is the Christ? Christ is our Messiah. He came to this world to save us. That is the reason why they call Jesus Christ. Christ is our Savior. And he said the Son of the Living God. When Peter said that, Jesus Christ knew that what he said is not normal. He's not saying it based on his own natural wisdom. Natural ability. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. When you do something good, you can see the way Jesus Christ addressed Peter here. When we do something, even in our family, in our contemporary life, people praise you. When you do something good in your family, they praise you. Jesus Christ even mentioned the name of the father of Simon. He said, Simon, Simon, by Jonah, by me, the son of Jonah. Jesus Christ, you know, wow. He said, for you to know that I'm the son of the living God, it's not ordinary. He knows that it's not using his normal wisdom, human wisdom, to assign spiritual things. Let's go to verse 18. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you know the meaning of Peter? Peter means the rock. And the first Peter Peter said something that is spiritual, that is supernatural. When he identified Jesus Christ as the Son of the Living God, you are Christ, the Son of the Living God. Immediately Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon Peter I will build my church. The same thing, if we Christians, when we do something significant, God is happy with us. When Jesus told Simon Peter that I will produce, I will build my church, what he means is that even when I've left you, I will build people around you to build the church of God, not the physical church, but the church, the congregation of people. That's a great plan. That's a great plan Jesus Christ had with Simon Peter immediately, because he operated in a supernatural realm, not on a physical wisdom. That means he said, Simon Peter, the flesh and blood has not revealed to you. This is verse 17. To you, but my Father, what is flesh and blood? Flesh and blood signifies the limited knowledge of every human being. Blood and flesh signify the level of our reasoning that cannot go beyond the supernatural. We human beings, we reason, when we reason based on our own knowledge, when we take decisions based on our own knowledge, we are only taking the decision everything with this present world, not supernatural. If you connect, if you do everything in this world, if you are not connected with supernatural, you
go nowhere. Nowhere. Our knowledge is limited. That's why God has a lot of potential for us. We are yet to tap. A lot of things that's there for us. We think, oh, I can do this, I can do this. A lot of things. You are different. You are specially made. You have the capacity. You have the power to do more than what you are doing right now.
Irrespective of your age, irrespective of your location, irrespective
of your sex, irrespective of your academic attainment, you can do more than what you are doing right now. We have the potential, we have the capacity in you. It's in you. That's why I'm asking you the same question. Who are you? Are you utilizing the potential God Almighty has deposited in you? You are more than what you think you are. We can change the supernatural. We see that there. We can use our ability to change the supernatural. We can change everything around you more than what you think you are right now. A lot of people may think, oh, I've achieved, I've retired, I've achieved a lot of people, a lot of things. We are looking at kind of way, maybe on your occupation, on your job or anything. And you think, oh, I bought the best house in town, I ride on the car I like. Those things are only for this world. I used to tell people, before anything happens to this world, it has already happened in the supernatural world. I don't know, some of you, especially if you dream very well, when you sleep, when you dream. Have you ever felt or have you thought, when you see something in this world, you feel like, as if I've seen this thing before? Or when an event occurs, you feel like this thing has occurred somewhere, and you feel like this thing, like, yes. Everything that happens in this world, it has happened in the supernatural world. It has completed. Everything where you are today, how you are in the church today, is not by accident. No. It has already ordained. God has already is a master plan. It has happened. All your life you live in this world, everything has been designed. It's now meant for you to use that ability, that spiritual power that God gave to you, to tap everything from the supernatural to this present world. So who are you today? Have you achieved what God wants for you?
That one will take us to the second part. I call it self-awareness and appraisal. We will need to be conscious of who you are, who exactly are you. Have you ever sat down and looked at your life? Can you look at your life? Have I achieved the potential? Have I achieved the greatness that God has already created for me? Let's continue. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 to 23. Because immediately Peter understood scriptural things. And Jesus Christ said, verse 19, I give you the keys of kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you look at that verse very well, I'll give you the keys, it's plural, of heaven, singular. Keys of heaven. In heaven, there are a lot of opportunities. Are you looking for the keys of healing? Are you looking for the key to succeed in life? Are you looking for the key to make you project beyond your human thinking? You need to connect with it in heaven. If you are not connected to heaven, if you depend on your human wisdom in this world, you will go nowhere. You will go nowhere. So there are things that God gave us ability to do all these things, but we don't do it. We have not even achieved 5% of what God has for us. 5%, and we think we have achieved everything. No. If you pray, if you see another thing, you pray, you see the potential, you see what God has, you see the power you have. Verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that he should tell no one that he was Jesus Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the head and the chief and scribes, and repeat and raise the third day. God was that Jesus Christ was preparing Peter, because Jesus knew the end from the beginning. He was preparing Peter, oh, for this church I built my church, the gate of heaven want to be very invested, because he knew, oh, Peter was operating in the supernatural world. He was telling them, I will go, I will die, and be killed, and be crucified. The third day I will be resurrected. But Peter was operating in human knowledge. Let's go to verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, that you shall not happen to you. When Jesus Christ said, oh, I will be killed, I will be crucified, and third day I will rise, Peter said, no, you cannot die. Immediately Peter that's in varsity, Peter that was operating in a supernatural realm, immediately said, oh, nothing he can. He's using his human ability, his human knowledge to discern spiritual things. Jesus Christ knew that he will be died, he will be killed. Peter said, no, it's not possible. You will not die. You and I can do anything with you. I have the sword. I have everything. Let's go to that one. But he turned and said to Peter, Jesus Christ turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are offense to me. So you are not mighty of the peace of God, but the peace of man. The same Peter, Jesus Christ called in verse 18, as the rock. In verse 23, he said, you are Satan, get behind me, Satan. He called him Peter. Because immediately, when Peter was operating in human wisdom, limited wisdom, with blood and flesh, he said, oh, can't believe Jesus Christ called him immediately, get behind me. Peter is used to tap the resources of heaven. Don't you think he was operating in heaven in verse 18? Wow, he said, Jesus Christ told me, flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. That only my Father is in heaven. He's a God. But when Peter was operating the same way, immediately Jesus Christ spoke and said, get behind me, Satan. The same thing with us. When we do everything with our limited knowledge, with our education, with our little things we learn in this world, we will not go anywhere. Our wisdom will fail us. But when you are connected to God, when you understand yourself, you have the self-awareness and you can appraise yourself, you know your worth, you know what you have. You can say, no, no problem. Darkness can overcome the will of God for my life. If you can pronounce it,
amen.
Through the prayer, through your belief, through your faith, through the help of Holy Spirit, you can do it. You can do it. You have more than what you think you have. Know your worth, know your potential, know your value in the Lord. You have the power to change situation. You have the authority to change circumstances. We are all, we have that power to change circumstances. A lot of people may say, oh, it's natural, there's nothing we can do about that. It's not natural. There's something we can do better. There's something we can do better. You can see what is going on in the world. I told some people, I know people may not believe it, when COVID came, I told them, God knows about it. He changed the whole world, he changed the whole things. He shifted the whole situation, but God knows about it. Before COVID came, God knew that it's coming. It's a good thing happening. The power God has given to us is more than what we think. We can change the situation for ourselves. We can change circumstances. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are the chosen generation. Nobody like you in the world. Nobody, no human being like you. You think, oh, I look like my mom, I look at my dad. You may look like them, or I do something the way my mom used to do it, or I do something the way my dad used to do it. You may do something, but you are different. And the same way in our spiritual world today, we are different. We have power to change circumstances. Psalm 82 verse 6. The book Psalm 82 verse 6. It says, I've said, ye are gods, and you are the children of the Most High. You know, when God described us inwardly, he said, ye are gods. Gods is like power. We have what? Jesus Christ even told us, he said, you can even do more than the miracle I did. We human beings, we have the power far beyond what we think we are. God called us God. He said, we are God, the children of the Most High. You and me. You have that power to change things. You have power to change your life of your children. For those of us that are children, you have power to change your circumstances. You have power even to change this world. I mentioned Elijah. Elijah changed this world in the Bible. He commanded that it should not rain for 3.5 years. The rain did not come because Elijah connected to the power of supernatural. He said it should not rain, it did not rain. And someone can command, can change nature, he changed the weather. You want to be like me, and you got to say, he said, like, that's like your passion. It's like me and you. So we should not limit our potentials. We have the potential that that's about what you think. Let me give you an illustration. Something happened to me. It happened to someone I was involved. I want to appreciate all of our medical practitioners, our doctors, our nurses. You guys are doing a good job. I work in the back. A customer came to me one day. Very nice customer. He said, "Sir, I want to cancel my GIC, I want to cancel my insurance fund, I want to close my accounts." I look at him, "Why?" He said, "I want to die." I said, "You want to die?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I'm dying." I told him, "No, you are not dying." He said, "Sam, not a joke. I'm dying. I'm not kidding." I said, "You want to break your insurance plan?" He said, "Yes, I want to close my account. I want to get everything cash. I want to spend the cash." I said, "Okay, can I ask you a couple of questions?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Why do you want to die? How do you know that you want to die?" He said, "My doctor told me I have 2 weeks to live." I told him, "Can I see the evidence for the doctor?" The guy went to his car and got a letter from the doctor. I read the letter and I said, they wrote in there, the guy had 2 weeks to live. The guy had stage 4 cancer. Wow. I told him, "I will break your mutual account. I will terminate your TST." It asked me one question. In my office, I said, "Can we pray?" He said, "Sir." He said, "Forget about that. We can pray, but forget about that." Because I can't imagine seeing someone in front of me talking to me and I have just 2 weeks to leave. I believe in medical, I appreciate our medical practitioners very well. The guy said, "Sure." He said, "We can pray." And I opened there and I held his hand. We prayed just 2 seconds prayer. 2 weeks after, the guy came to the bank. He said, "Sam, I've not died." 1 month after, he said, "Sam, I don't know, I've not died." 6 months after, he said, "Sam, I've not died." I told him, "You can die if you wish to die." A year after, the guy came back. Anytime he comes to the bank, he will pop into my office. He says, "Sam, how are you?" He said, "I'm not dead." Like 1 year. 2 years after, the guy says, "Sam, the level doctor gave to me, I tell myself, I'm not dead." I now call him, I told him, "You have power to change circumstances by yourself." The same thing happened in the Bible. King Ezekiah. Let's quickly go to the Second King chapter 20. Second King chapter 20. Second King chapter 20, verse 1-6. I'll read from here. "In those days was Ezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, God said thy Lord, send thy house in order, for thou shalt die, and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And let's see prayer works so." That's all. "And it came to pass, after Isaiah was drawn out into the middle of the coast, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Ezekiah, the king of my people, says the Lord, the God of David and Father. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heed thee. At the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Verse 6. I will add unto that day 50 years, and I will deliver thee and the city and the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city from my counsel and from the servant David's sake. Prophet Isaiah went to the king, Hezekiah. God told him, go and pack your load, go and put your heart in order, you are dying. Today, Hezekiah connected to the spiritual world immediately. The Bible said, he faced the world and prayed. The same day, God told Prophet Isaiah, go back, go and tell King Hezekiah, it's not that I will have 15 more years to speak. Because he knew himself. He knew the power God gave him. The same way this morning we can change our life. He prayed to God. God said he turned his face to the world. He didn't face nobody. He forgot all his human knowledge. He forgot all the medical. He forgot everything, all the Google you can Google for a solution. He forgot everything. His face is Creator. His face God Almighty. The same day, God changed his circumstances. God added another 15 years to his life. The same thing between me and you today. We can change situation. I don't know the reason why God said we should speak at this time, why this type of topic comes up. When Pastor God said, shall you preach? The same day, God just said, ask my people, who are you? That was the topic God gave me today.
Say, I'm a preacher.
So the same person today, you can change your situation. Don't think it is worth that pain has come to your circumstances. No. God said, call upon me, I will answer thee and I'll show you the mighty things in which you know not. That's the word of God. Why do you say that? The same one, this morning, God can change your circumstances too. Is there anything you are thinking? Are you looking at inflation that is going on in the real world? No. Inflation is just for this world alone. You can change it. Do you know a lot of people, when the economy is crashed, everything is down in jail, people are complaining? Do you know a lot of people are made a better man? When things are going bad, they are going there. So, you don't look at circumstances of this world. That is said, look unto God, the author and finisher of our faith. In any situation, are you passing any sickness, any depression? God Almighty is there. God wants us to depend on Him. He doesn't want us to use our wisdom to do anything. God wants us to depend on Him. He is our Creator. He created us differently. And there's a uniqueness that God has given you that we need to utilize. Let's go to the last. The second slide. I read a book. The title of the book is Walk by Faith. By doing Daniel. It says something, just want to pause, and realizing your potential. It said God is your creativity and uniqueness. Think about it. Every snowflake is different. No two people have the same fingerprints. Each of us has a unique DNA. He created only you, only one you. And there will never anyone else who can do exactly what he prepared for you to do. Nobody can do exactly what you are doing. You came to this world for a purpose. And I pray you will achieve that purpose before you go back. There is purpose in where you came to this world. It's not by mistake. Coming to this world is not by mistake. It's a divine plan from a supernatural world. So for you to be here today, it's not by mistake. For you to hear this message, it's not by mistake. There's a plan God wants you to achieve. The last phase I go through, I tag it as self-denial. Before we can achieve the potential that God has planned for us, we need to deny ourselves for something. Good things does not come free. Nothing good in life comes free. We don't do that. Nothing. Salvation that God gave us, people say salvation is free. It's free, you know, it's free, but there are some things salvation will change about you. You need to deny yourself for some things. Let's go to Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 28. Jesus said unto his disciples, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you want to connect to that supernatural realm this morning, you need to deny yourself some things. And I would like to say this. If you, as a believer, as Christians, if your life doesn't differ from unbeliever or people that are not Christians, you need to check yourself. If you think maybe your neighbor or your family, you are a Christian, they know you are a Christian, but you and them, everything about your life is the same. You need to check yourself. When you want to operate in this supernatural world, you need to deny yourself a lot of things. There are many things you will have to do as a human being. We are subject to all God and flesh, but when you have the Spirit, when the Spirit comes up with you, it will be different from others. There's something that will make you different from others. There's something you cannot do, something you need to do when before you give your life to Christ, that now you are giving your life to Christ, you cannot do it any longer. It's natural. Holy Spirit, when you give to you, he will tell you a lot of things that is different from your natural life. Is that? Anybody want to come over and let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? We all know the meaning of cross. Cross is not a good thing, but it is a good thing. Jesus Christ passed through the cross. Before glory, there must be a cross. Cross is that trouble you will pass through. As a believer, knowing Christ is not free, it comes with a lot of sacrifices. You want to make heaven, and you leave everything in this world, and then one day, whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you believe it or you don't believe it, it doesn't matter. One day, you will leave this world. All your beautiful houses, all your money in bank accounts, all your family you love, you will give all of them to the hand. It will be very easy. Then when you get there, they will ask you, who are you? Your creator, they will ask you. You are going back to your creator. Who are you? The potential God has given you. How have you utilized it? How have you used it? So who are you? That's a big question I want to ask you this evening. Who are you? And before we can know our potential in God, we need to witness, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to have faith in our Lord. And we need to renew our mind. Let's make up our mind. Because of my time, I will now read Romans chapter 3, verse 2, from verse 1 to 2. We need to renew our mind. You will dedicate yourself back to God. Look at yourself, take stock of your life, and re-establish yourself back to God. And So you never only you think that everything you have. So you think only you and your Creator. Have you done the worship to come up? The worship team to come up. And if you want to dedicate yourself back, our prayer team is here. The elders are here. They are here. They want to pray with you. You want to connect back to your Creator. You want to connect back to where you come from. And one day you go back. So we need.